Keisha Taylor settled back into the booth and tried to enjoy her turkey club. The turkey club did not make this easy. A diner attached to a gas station a couple hours outside of Bismarck. A grassy place between towns. Keisha's main criteria for choosing the diner had been ample parking for her truck. Once upon a time, people chose food based on the season or the migration patterns of animals. She selected her meals based on the parking situation. Her difficult relationship with what the menu called the chef's special club was made more complicated by a patron in the booth adjacent to hers. The man was eating an omelet, scooping big chunks of egg with long, grease-stained fingers and shoving them into his mouth, each bite followed by a low grunt. He was a large man, with a face that sagged on one side, a lump on the top of his shoulder, and a long fold of extra skin hanging from one arm. His clothes were filthy, and she could smell him from where she sat. He smelled like rot. Not bad, exactly, but earthy, like fruit disintegrating into soil. His dirty yellow polo shirt had the word thistle on it. He was staring at Keisha with eyes that went yellow at the edges. He chewed with his mouth open, and his teeth and food were both a dull yellow. Keisha did her best to look anywhere else. At the crowd of bystanders behind the on-location reporter on the muted televisions, a crowd she reflexively scanned for a familiar face, or the bathroom door as the cook took his third visit since she had arrived. At a van driving by on the highway with a cartoon logo of chickens and the name Praxis in bubble font. But the man's grunts were insistent, and soon she couldn't look anywhere else. And then, to her horror, he got up, omelet hanging from his lips, and limped toward her like his legs had no muscle, mere sacks of meat attached loosely to his torso.
"Doesn't look much like rain," he said, plopping himself across the table from her and licking the egg off his lips with long, wet passes of his pale tongue. The smell of damp earth got stronger. Her heart was pounding, as it often did when she felt trapped, which she often did. Her life, at the best of times, was a minefield of possible triggers for her anxiety, and this was not the best of times.
"Hope you don't mind if I join you," he said. Not a question or a request, but a joke.
He laughed, and his jaw sank crookedly into his neck. "I was hoping to eat alone," she said down at her sandwich.
"Good people deserve good things."
She didn't know what to say to that. He scratched his cheek, and some of the skin peeled away.
"It's dangerous out here."
She didn't want to engage with him at all, felt even responding negatively might encourage him. So she started to slide off the duct tape patchwork that had once been a booth, grabbing her backpack and making a determined look toward the door against the pulsing of her panicked heart. He held a hand up, and she froze, wanting to leave but not able to find a way to do so.
"Want to see something funny?" he said, in a voice with no humor in it.
It is often said that bad experiences are like nightmares. But what Keisha noticed most in this moment was how real it was, how she couldn't escape its reality, how she would never be able to convince herself she had remembered any part of that evening incorrectly. He got up, wiping the egg from his hands onto the word thistle on his chest. His face was slack and not arranged right. He walked over to a table where a man sat, a truck driver probably. The man looked like a truck driver, she thought. What does a truck driver look like?
"Hey, Earl," the thistle man said.
"Huh?"
said Earl, frowning. The Thistle Man grabbed him by the back of his neck, and Earl's face went blank.